Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe, and we are glad that you're here joining us with our Cafe Book Club. Woo-hoo! We are doing Getting the Love You Really Want by Harville Hendricks and his lovely wife, Helen Hunt. And, boy, this is just a classic that's actually been over 30 years. There's been at least two rewrites on it. And I'll go ahead and get my co-host, Miss Amy Frost. How are you tonight, Amy?
My biology is just making me connect with both of you.
And we have the lovely Michelle with us tonight. Hey, Michelle, how are you tonight?
Hey, it's MC in the IE.
It's biology going on everywhere. Okay, that's great. Okay. All right, we're sitting up at the table here. So just remind everybody, if you go back to our last show, which was TC376, we kind of did a pre-show of what this book's all about and just some of the wonderful things, the significant things that this book has really changed. When we're talking about, I know the show tonight is called Are You Living in an Unconscious Relationship? And, boy, they did a really great job of being able to just give some guidelines of communication and just really, you know, like Amy said, you know, biology of, you know, putting things out there with our behavioral things. So, Amy, where do you want to start? Go right off the bat. We'll just kind of go through chapter one.
Yeah, I think so. And what I just kind of give people a little bit of a heads up. I'm really honored to be at the table with both of you and really, you know, playing with this because this is a really important topic. I know a lot of people are getting the book and are doing it with us, however it works for them, but the need is so incredibly great. So I'm honored to do this good work with you. And so tonight we're going to be talking about Chapter 1 and the exercise, the first exercise. And I can't stress enough how important I believe it is to do those exercises, and I really want Michelle to help us to how do we make sense of this, if, you know, in terms of being doing it for yourself or with a couple or having to make sense of these exercises, whether you're in a significant other relationship or not. I guess we're all in a significant other relationship with somebody, you know, if nothing else
yeah,
with
I
ourselves.
Yeah, we are.
Right?
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about that on the last show, too, that, you know whether it's a significant other relationships, it does a really good job talking about, you know, relationships are just so important, whether it's your spouse, significant other, a close friend, you know, a sibling, or even a parent. There's just all these relationships that I think
co-workers.
We really need to look at them. Say it again?
Co-workers.
Amen.
Co-workers, thank you. Yes. And gosh, we spend more time at work with our coworkers than, you know, usually with family. That's for darn sure. So that's a very good point. Thank you, Michelle. So, yeah, just all these different relationships that we have. So last show, I wanted to kind of back up a little bit, too. Amy had made in the introduction, he talked about, you know, you get married and you get put into a box. And we all went, coffin. I mean, he did the whole coffin thing, but I went back and really kind of looked at that again because it was just like, you know, he said, you know, and he calls it our box mate, or I think it's me. I don't remember if it's exactly that. But, you know, once we take on that role as that person being that significant other for this other person, you know, if you like what you're, and he says, if you like what you see, you stay in the box. And if you don't like what you see, you're looking for another box. And I think that's still true when it comes to being able to look at relationships, you know, depending on what we like or don't like with another person. And the significance of, you know, people putting us in a box and then we kind of get stuck there and there's not this open invitation for people to be allowed to change and move. And I think that's something that really can stifle relationships as well. You know, we kind of have it like, I figured you all out and I know you all, how you are. And, you know, moment by moment, we're changing and growing. Let's hope so. And that we get stuck with that with people. So I'd love for both of you to, you know, talk about that if that's, you know, with kind of that insight going back and looking at it again.
Well, thank you. I think it's really important to be always looking at where am I at with my relationship with myself and my relationship with other, whether I work with them or I'm married to them or they're my friend. And I think it's an ongoing thing. Otherwise, it becomes stale and it becomes, I would dare to say, unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And in the, I don't know if it's the first or the second chapter, Harville talks about if you put pressure on a balloon. So if you're in a relationship with someone and you're the only one who's really interested in changing it or making it different or better, if you put pressure on one part of the balloon, it affects all parts of the balloon. So just focus on your part in the relationship and change will happen.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and I mean, I just personally, you know, I've gone through some relationship counseling, and that's one thing that they say right off the bat is, like, the only person you can change is you. You know, you can't change that other person, no matter what, you know, what you want to be doing with that. And, you know, here tonight we're going to be talking about, you know, are you living in an unconscious relationship? Ooh, gosh, what does that look like? But unconsciousness,
Robin?
Is those hidden, yeah, Amy.
So I kind of would like to lay this down and tell me if you want to move another direction. But you talk in terms of unconscious partnerships and who we're attracted to. They talk about the biologic of the courtship behavior, and this is male-female relationship. They're talking about, according to this broad evolutionary view of love, we instinctively select mates who will enhance the survival of the species. Men are drawn to classically beautiful women with clear skin, bright eyes, shiny hair, good bone structure, red lips and rosy cheeks, not because of fat or fashion, but because of the qualities indicate youth and robust health, signs that a woman is in the peak of her childbearing years. Women select mates for slightly different biological reasons, because youth and physical health aren't essential to the male reproductive role. Women instinctively favor mates which are alpha qualities, the ability to dominate other males, bring home more than their share of the kill. And so looking for that land to make sure that they're protected to do that, you know, childbearing. So let's kind of start there with genetically where we were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. So, yeah, because they do a lot of foundational to understand, you know, some of this is a biological thing, some of this is a mental thing, and the way that the reasons we do what we do. So, and Michelle, you had talked about before about how you just find this such a fascinating chapter.
Well, that's a very broad segue. Yes, I do.
Correct. But I remember you telling me that. You go, this is really fascinating.
Cute. Well, this chapter talks about choosing that is what we're all told is how we pick a mate, but that there's really an underlying attraction that's bringing the right person to us. Because if you look around, not all of us women are the most beautiful and young looking, and we still have a mate. So, you know, what's really going on here? And the men aren't mm-hmm. always the alpha, and they have a mate. So there's something deeper going on.
Yeah, here's that analogy of the iceberg where, you know, you're just seeing that small part of it on the top, and there's so much going on in the bottom. You know, it's just most of us underestimate the unconscious mind that all exists with this, you know, where they talk about how, with like the whole thing where we have these Freudian slips of the unconsciousness that basically influence our daily behaviors that we do, and that things get triggered, and, you know, with when it coming from our parents and things that we've said with each other. But one thing I think is really fascinating is once they kind of go over the whole biological models of, you know, youth and the alpha and all that, that there's a different kind of theories that come into, like, an exchange theory, which talks about, you know, that we're ultimately looking for more or less we want to be equals, whether it's creativity and sense of humor and kindness when we're looking for somebody that we can have a significant other or just being able to have a relationship with. And then you have the persona theory, which talks about the potential relationship that enhances our sense of a personal self-esteem. And, you know, I'm with this person because it helps me to feel good about myself. So there's the sense of with that person, I have self-confidence. It helps me to build up who I am. So, you know, it's important to think that, you know, we keep attracting what we need to heal. And that's a really underlining message with this understanding of being able to communicate and just say, you know, what is it that I'm wanting to really, you know, heal within myself when I'm attracted to these people, whether it's good attractions or bad attractions. Because, you know, one thing that I think it's really important to talk about with this whole idea of, you know, what we're doing consciously or unconsciously, it's both sides. You know, it's a seesaw. You know, we've got good and, you know, the positives and the negatives that are seeking to balance each other. So, and then we go into looking about, you know, the old brain logic, which they kind of call, you know, reptilian brains of like this fight and flight and the different things that seem to, you know, what do I most care about is like having somebody who can nurture me or that I can be nurtured by. And, you know, when you get into that kind of a brain, I thought it was really interesting because he talks about there. It seems that time just kind of disappears, the whole linear sense of anything, because it's a matter of us really running away from, you know, or being submitted to and things like that. So we kind of get into self-protection and we get into self-survival, as it were, in the way that we allow things to be or not be in our relationships. And I thought that was really an interesting way that he put that through that. He says, know that the unconscious mind functions this way and explains many of the conflicts in relationships. Feeling within a relationship that seems to be alarmingly out of proportion to the events that are triggering them. So it's like some of the things that we allow or don't allow because it's a matter of, you know, our sense of protection and our sense of what we allow and make okay. I think that's something that really you can look into that when it comes to being able to communicate with people. So it really helps us, I think, to look at, you know, even getting into this work about, you know, getting the love that you want is being able to learn to have a communication skill set, you know, and they call it, you know, they call it this process, this theory that they work with and having being able to look in that. So anything with that, guys, you want to share?
Well, I just want to throw out something. You know, I'm continuously looking at lots of things simultaneously, and I had found this quote, and I just kind of let me read this, about looking at what's going on for ourselves as we're looking looking at what's brought to us. And for me, it's working to make it not negative or positive, but what is it that I'm being pulled to or is being pulled to me, however you want to make sense out of that, and what does it mean for me and what do I need to do with it. And the quote is, don't forget to scrutinize your heart at all times and with joy. Study what you yearn for and look for with the holy truth of God's Spirit into the innermost desires of your heart. If you do this on a regular basis, you'll find all lying repugnant. You won't want to lie anymore because you'll realize that lying drives God's love out. Lying damages your soul, and you won't want that. Lying strengthens secret cunning, hate, and rage in your heart. Don't let it take root. And that's from The Flowing Light of the Godhead, which I know it's been around, a long time. And I think for me, what it comes down to is how honest am I willing to be in that scrutiny of my heart and having that as part of this and not getting so much and caught up in it's the reptilian brain or it's in the they talk a lot about how we're trying to replicate the relationship with our parents to heal that. And I get that, and I know that's been a lot of work for me. And not making our parents good or bad. They were just a lightning rod, right, for things for us to look at. And being able to say, okay, what is bringing to me right now? And I'm very excited about the exercises to see how that's going to help in that process of moving past, you know, the plus or the minus of it, but what is the real work right now for me to be in truly authentic relationship with myself, and then that'll be enable me to take that to be in relationship with others, no matter where the relationship is.
Great. Thanks, Amy. That's very helpful. Yeah. Anything, Michelle?
Yeah, I don't think, I think this first chapter is highlighting to us that it's really not even a matter of lying to ourselves. It's just that we're unaware and confused.
Yeah, I agree.
What is drawing us to a person? We're not, we're thinking with our conscious mind, and we think that we're creating with our conscious mind, but we're actually creating with our subconscious mind, or reptilian brain is another name for it. And it's operating below our consciousness. And so we get confused and we don't understand why we're drawing people to us who have things that we don't want. So that's what I feel like he's explaining in this first chapter.
Yeah.
One of the things that I noted on it is that every frustration is a wish in disguise. And it says, what do I want instead of what I don't like? So I think that was a really helpful thing for me. It was really, that was a helpful insight in thinking about that, about, you know, and it's really kind of helped me since I started reading the book when I catch myself in a frustration. And I'm like, oh, I'm feeling frustrated. What is that? What is it that I'm really wanting out of, you know, this interaction? Instead of, you know, making them wrong or whatever, it's like, what would I want in instead of, you know, feeling like I'm disappointed? I'm not communicating what I need or what I'd like to have happen.
And it goes even further, because in the relationship with your mate, it's typically, what is it that I want that I didn't get?
Definitely.
This is how the relationship evolves, to be able to go to a safe place with that question and then be able to interact with your partner in order to either satisfy it or not, but to be at peace with the unfolding of it. That's later chapters, but that is a big point. It's, what is it that I want that I didn't get? And these first few chapters talk about how we attract the mate with the qualities, the negative and the positive qualities of significant people in our childhood.
Well, and once you kind of learn the communication skills of, like, one person really being the one who's talking and the other person basically just kind of saying yes and no, and then really coming from a place of questioning of, like, you know, tell me when that happened, or tell me when that was true for you. So it's a matter of being able to understand where that person's coming from, because lots of times we just think it's something that we've done, when it's a matter of something that we've done just is a trigger, you know.
And,
of going back to their childhood and having them responding to something in a very childish way, you know, that they don't even necessarily recognize that they're doing that, you know.
And it's not even really childish. It's the reptilian brain that doesn't understand that you're now an adult. It just doesn't see time. So everything that happened then is happening currently. And if it's not healed, then it's going to react.
May I find an example for myself?
Say that again?
Sign an example for myself. Robin, are you there?
Say an example for myself? I'm thinking of back in the book again.
I want to share one. For me, I've done a lot of work in this area personally, and just for many, many years. And something that used to happen to me, and I don't even know if you realize this, Robin, that this was even, for many, many years, long into my, I would say, 30s, and kind of caught it and really resolved it in my 40s. But I would, when somebody would get too close to me, I would just see red and start flailing and just start hitting. And I don't know if you ever experienced that, but I know Ross did, and other people would get too close to me, and I had to, like, oh, my God, what is going on here? It wasn't anything. I knew that it was, the reaction was so intense compared to what was really happening, that there was something much bigger, and there was a lot of work that went through to happen to do that. That wasn't a thought process. It was something that, as I noticed, oh, crap, this is happening, and this is going to really affect any relationship that gets really close to me. When they get too close, literally this thing would happen to me. So I guess that's really a big time, a reptilian reaction that there was no thought process.
Yeah, that's,
well,
that's kind of what we're talking
about. He goes
on
to describe in the first chapter that what happens is that your new brain creates an image, sends it to your old brain for scrutiny. The old brain receives the image and compares it with other stored images. And then there's an instant observation. So probably the instant observation for you was that there was danger, some kind of danger. And then once that brain reaches the conclusion, it sent the limbic system, which is the emotional system, sends a signal to the reptilian brain on what to do. So if the image had been a safe one, you would go and maybe hug the person, but the image got compared and it to a stored image that was one of danger, and so that's why you reacted the way you did.
Absolutely. And I don't want to get too much into it, but what I had to do was I had to rewire, and then I would tell myself, I am safe now. I could feel when the trigger was coming, and I had to rewire it to that I'm in the present moment, that I'm safe now. And so I don't have that issue now, and there's a lot of other tools I would use now that I didn't know about then. But, yeah, it was definitely something that it did once I was able to see it, but it was something I didn't really understand for a long time.
Thank you for sharing that, Amy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for sharing that, and I'm glad I wasn't a part of that. I didn't get innocently whacked in the process, so that's good. Yay, yay for me. Okay.
I'd like to just kind of, so we can come back to chapter one, but I want to talk a little bit about the exercises, and especially, Michelle, I'd love to hear your take on how we do this, you know, for ourselves, not just with a couple, but he talks about the exercises in, because the 10 steps towards a conscious partnership, and I'm looking in the that very last version, so I'm not sure how different they are, but he talks about because our relationship is very important to us, we're making a commitment to increase our awareness of ourselves and each other and to acquire and practice new relationship skills. To this end, we agreed to do all the exercises in this book in a careful, conscientious manner. And they talk about, as you work the exercises, keep in mind two cardinal rules. Number one, the information you gather in the process of doing the exercises is designed to educate you and your partner about each other's needs. Sharing this information does not obligate you to meet those needs. And number two, when you share your thoughts and feelings with each other, you become emotionally vulnerable. It is important that you use the information you gain about each other in a loving and helpful manner. So how I want to help people who are doing this, especially that don't particularly, may not have a partner right now, how would they go about doing these exercises? Do you have a feel for that, Michelle?
Well, I've done exercise number one and two and had no problem doing it on my own.
Okay.
The first exercise is a relationship vision, and it does ask each person to create their own vision separately and then come together, compare it, and make the list together. But you can just omit that second part. As long as you have a relationship vision of your own, you can move forward, and actually it's quite helpful.
Fantastic. So when did you do your vision exercise? Was it recently or a while ago?
I did it recently. I did one a while ago, and then I just did one recently.
Okay, great. So I'm going to do that this coming week, work on that, and I want to support the people that are doing this with us to do that and be able to, find somebody to talk to about what came out of that vision and maybe that process. I'd love to, again, you can share whatever you feel comfortable. We don't want anybody sharing anything they don't feel comfortable, or maybe a little uncomfortable. But is there anything that you want to share about the difference between what you did before and this time, or anything that you'd like to share?
Not really from before, because it's been a while and I don't even know where that is right now. But I did come up with three things that are really important for me and in a relationship that I didn't know were at the top of my list, but I knew they were important. But one is that we are partners and equals in the relationship. The second one is that we are safe with each other. And the third one is that we take responsibility for our own feelings and behavior.
Beautiful.
Hey, Michelle, I have a question.
Yeah.
Part of, like, if you're, when you're going down, you know, you're working on the project and stuff like that. You know, number three is you're basically ranking everything from one to five. And then number four in the steps, it says circle the two items that are most important to you. Did you find that difficult? Having it, everything you listed and then going to just two that were the most important?
Well, I didn't do two. I did more.
Oh, okay. Okay. She went wrong.
I did two on the top part, and I did like six on the bottom.
Okay.
So
well, I think
there
that's
you go.
Good because it's like, yeah, I think that's really a great answer because it's a matter of like, well, it says I'm looking out too. I'm like, well, yeah, as many as I want. And I think that's a really good point with that kind of thing because I think that's probably why I looked at them and go, well, I don't know if I can come up with two.
Yeah.
So, yay.
I could probably, if I really edited, come up with the more specific wordings that included, you know, these things are, I could probably come up with two if I came up the exact words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're probably right, too.
Because some of them were like, I circled one and I circled the other, and I was like, that's almost the same thing.
Mm.
So
mm-hmm.
I would just really need to tweak it. I probably
mm-hmm.
really only have four.
Okay, okay. Well, and I think either answer's right, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, I think as you work with the list, you're going to feel different about it, you know, day to day. Because, you know, the last step is, you know, they ask you to post it someplace and you look at it daily, and then once a week you would read it to the other person. So, you know, just take the time to read it out loud to yourself maybe. And I'm sure you're going to wind up having things change a little bit, especially as you start looking at it and reading it and seeing it, because it just becomes a part of your life when you're looking at the things that, it, to me, it's just really just putting some affirmations out there of, you know, this is how I want my life. This is how I'm going to be in my relationships. This is how I am.
Yeah. This is how I am.
So
and
this is how
I'm,
I am in
this
relationship.
Yeah,
relationship.
And I'm going to
mm-hmm.
be looking for it in my friendships and
mm-hmm.
my
mm-hmm.
acquaintances and in every interaction.
At work.
Because
mm-hmm. yeah.
I'm ready for
yeah.
it to be ubiquitous.
I love that.
Yeah.
I
yeah,
want to talk
I love
about
that too.
And in this exercise, it says, great, find those things that are most important to you. But then it has put a check mark beside those items you think would be more difficult for you to achieve. Did you do that?
I didn't because I think it depends on the couple because I'm a certain person and they're a certain person. So depending on who they are and who I am, that's what would be more difficult because this is my list and I'm like, I can do all of those.
Well, and
mm-hmm.
maybe that's a good point, but you've done a lot of work. And
well, the person I who's going to come into my life is going to be right there with me.
No. That's not my point. I agree.
Oh.
What I'm trying to support people who would be doing the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of thinking about myself and doing that if I chose to do that part for myself, not with somebody else, you know what I mean? Then I would say, maybe this is something that I want to work on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know
so
what I mean?
You wouldn't do it with your husband. You would just do it on your own.
Or maybe both.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't really have an answer. I'm just kind of processing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about it.
Well, just to let our listener, you know, our diners know that part of the exercise, they list, what is it? I think it's at least 15 different statements. And, I mean, you know, it's helpful. I mean, if you went through that list, there probably would be things that you would check off that, like, yeah, I need to work on that. Whether it's,
yeah.
you know, being financially financially, you know, secure, or living next to my parents, or, you know, there's all different kinds of things about, you know, different ways that, you know, there might, you know, be different kinds of challenges depending on what it is for yourself. So,
and
well,
I can
always,
look at
you know,
the list right now and see, I have something on my list that says we trust each other, and based on my history, that would be a challenge for me.
Okay.
So I can add that check right now.
So I think that's part of it, is like, you know, it's finding a way that this works for you, right? And that, you know, you can do it different ways. We want you to, you know, to work with it in a way that would work for you. But it, yeah, it could also be a great place for you to go, okay, where do I want to work? And if you do have a partner, I know with my husband, I'm going to ask him to do it too. And we have a pretty free weekend this weekend. And then we'll come together and kind of compare lists and see, you know, where are there some areas we want to work? But there's also that part
of great idea.
Some areas that I feel like I need to work to be a better partner. Because my husband asks me all the time, what can I do to be a better husband? And I look at him like, ooh, like, you know.
Look it out the list.
Exactly. But now I have that information.
Number one. Okay.
We're at their mark, believe it or not. So you want to talk about next week, and then we're come back on the 20th.
Yeah, we're gonna be dark next week, so that gives everybody an opportunity to go ahead and do the exercises. And then Michelle and I look forward to talking to you about that. Michelle, make sure I get my homework done. And we're gonna talk about the list, and we're gonna be getting into chapter two, which is getting into childlike wounds. And some different kinds of stuff that we'll be going through. And I love that Michelle will be my co-host with that show, because it's definitely something that's going to be very interesting to be walking through that. So just kind of remind everybody that we'll be taking a week off, and then we'll be back to it. And so I encourage you to get the book if you haven't gotten it. It's Getting the Love That You Want by Harville Hendricks and Helen Hunt, PhDs. And again, you know, there's like three or four different versions of this. I have the original. Thanks to Michelle. She had an extra copy, and I'm working through that one. And Amy has the brand new spanking new one that they have. It's, you know, for, you know, it's 30 years later kind of thing. It's only 10 years old, and she's had it for, it's a 20-year one. So anyway, just thank you guys for joining us. We look forward to talking to you next time. And, you know, keep them with the book. And if you have any questions, comments, please just leave them with our show, and we will be getting in contact, and we'll go ahead and address those at the next show. We thank you for calling, and have a wonderful week.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Yeah, perfect time to be doing relationships. Get the love you want.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.